Jacksonville police officials say they've obtained a warrant for an arrest in connection with a homicide investigation. Police are looking for 19-year-old Avery Berry of Jacksonville. He's charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder and the shooting death of 24-year-old Marcus Jackson of Jacksonville. Jackson was pronounced dead earlier Friday morning at Pasavan Area Hospital from a gunshot wound. Reports indicate at around 2, an officer in the parking lot of the police department, which is in the 200 block of West Douglas, heard shots west of the building. Officers went to investigate at the corner of Douglas and Fayette. Upon arrival, they found Jackson had been shot. No further details about how Berry knew Jackson are available, but police say there had been a party at the location. Witnesses indicate Jackson was involved in a fight before the alleged shooting. Police Lieutenant Rodney Cox says Berry has ties in Jacksonville, Springfield, and the Decatur area. If you have any information, call the Jacksonville Police Department at 479-4630 or Crime Stoppers at 243-7300. This is the first homicide investigation in Jacksonville since July 2013.
I turn my back for just a minute and Patrick sneaks back on the air. I'm Colleen Doyle, and you should call my dad, the Irish plumber, when you have a leak around the house. The pros at Doyle Plumbing are skilled and courteous, and you'll just love their Irish brogue. Call Doyle Plumbing, the oldest and most trusted company for plumbing in the Jacksonville area. I knew I should have changed the locks when Patrick was away at school.
Jacksonville police made one arrest today. 18-year-old Tyler Craddock of the 800 block of North Prairie was arrested at his residence at around 1:45 for theft. Craddock remains in custody. One sentence was handed down today in Morgan County Court. 48-year-old Donald Treadway of the 500 block of Duncan was sentenced to 160 days in jail for a violation of the order of protection. It was an emotional moment for Jacksonville's soon-to-be new fire chief. Current fire captain Doug Sills was named at last night as the successor to current chief Rick Kluge, who announced earlier this month he's retiring. City Council unanimously approved a resolution by Jacksonville Mayor Andy Ezzard. According to Kluge, Sills was hired in 1989 and has served the fire department for over 25 years. He was named captain in 2001 and has served the last 13 years as shift commander and department training officer. Kluge added that Sills has been involved in several department projects, such as the computer remapping of the city, writing and receiving a grant to update the communication system, and getting the department's first ever thermal imaging cameras. Sills has also been involved with the fire department's first ever training facility, which is still being worked on. Sills took the time to thank Kluge, who will have a reception in the municipal building on Friday from 2 to 4 p.m.
Rick and I have had the occasion to work together throughout the ranks from hoseman up through fire officer. And through our working together, Rick has always demonstrated courage, determination, and pride when he's carried out his duties. He's left the department in great shape, and it'll make my job a lot easier.
Sills also thanked the firefighters he worked with in Crew 1.
It has been an honor to work beside them for the last 13 years. We have experienced many highs and lows. We've sweat, we've bled on the same streets, but through all the tragedy and heartbreak that we have witnessed, you guys have conducted yourself professionally, demonstrating courage and pride. But what I'm most thankful for and what I will take the most pride in is the brotherhood that you allowed me to be a part of.
Sill stated he looks forward to the opportunities of working with the fire department heads and community leaders on how the department can provide service, but also be involved in community growth. Sills lives in Jacksonville with his wife Sherry and their 2 children. Sherry Sills presented her husband with new badges as part of a ceremony after Alderman passed the resolution naming him the new chief. One man is using his leg power to raise money for those who aren't able to. Thomas Beasley made a pit stop in Jacksonville overnight on his journey to bike across the country and raise awareness for multiple sclerosis. Beasley says years ago, while training for the Tour de France, he was inspired by a couple in California.
I was sitting at the pool, and there was a woman there sitting there with her husband, and then I was telling her about a new riding outfit I wanted to get, and she had to go get up and go. He had to carry her because she had MS and she couldn't walk. And the next morning, I woke up and there was enough money to get my outfit underneath my door. And in their note was, you should do your next ride across country for MS. And then when I got back, he had passed away with MS. So it was like things were pushing me that way. And
Beasley says this is his 62nd ride, and he expects to travel 10,000 miles over the next 10 months. His current ride started on February 1st in Houston, Texas, and over the past few months, he's biked through Alabama, Arkansas, Missouri, and Wisconsin. Beasley talks about what motivates him on his long travels.
To raise as much awareness for MS as I can, to raise at least $5,000 or more dollars for MS. So I've raised $136,745 so far. My goal is $150,000 or 300,000 miles. I've done 263,000 miles, and I've been doing it for 23 years, 9 months, and 27 days.
This is the second time Beasley has traveled through Jacksonville on his cross-country bike ride. He says the Hampton Inn, Rudy's Grill, and several other businesses in Jacksonville have reached out a helping hand during his travels. Beasley says he hopes people will donate to him personally or online at nationalmssociety.org. The next stop for Beasley is Hannibal, Missouri. He says if you see him on the road, give him a double honk to show your support. A Waverly veteran is traveling to Washington, D.C. today as part of the final Land of Lincoln Honor Flight of the year. Paul Elliott of the U.S. Army is one of 81 veterans from World War II, the Korean War, and Vietnam War who will be taking the day-long trip to visit and reflect at the national memorials. After arriving in Washington, D.C., the veterans and their escorts will board one of three designated buses to take them around the nation's capital. Stops along the tour included the National Air and Space Museum, the Pentagon, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, and the Arlington National Cemetery. The public is invited to welcome home the veterans at Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport in Springfield at around 9:30 tonight. For more information about the LLHF or to donate to the organization, visit landoflincolnhonorflight.org. Farmers in West Central Illinois had a busy week harvesting corn and soybeans. According to the latest USDA crop report, local farmers and farmers around the state were able to get 6 full days of work in the fields. And although numbers are still behind average, Schleusner notes that it was a good week for farmers.
Corn harvest jumped 16 points last week, and soybean harvest increased by 26 points. At the state average for corn harvest is now 59% complete, compared to 71% last year and 72% five-year average. Soybean harvest now 63% complete. That compares to 83% 1 year ago and 77% normally.
Crop statistician Mark Schleusner says locally, corn is being harvested at 68% and soybeans are at 57%. The conditions are good to excellent for 83% of corn and 80% of soybeans. In the West Southwest District, topsoil moisture was 2% short, 67% adequate, and 31% surplus. Subsoil for the district was 3% short, 74% adequate, and 23% surplus. The local district received barely any rain, and the average precipitation for the week was 0.03 inches. That number is down 0.61 inches from normal. The average temperature in the West Southwest District was 55 degrees, which is on par with the state average.
This is Melissa Fairless, consumer banker with People's Bank and Trust in Waverly and Palmyra, your financial partner for a lifetime. We understand the special financial considerations during the different stages of your life, wherever you are on life's journey, preparing for college, starting a career, raising a family, or planning for retirement. Our consumer bankers have the experience and products to guide you toward your financial goals. I want to be your banker in Waverly and Palmyra, and we also have consumer bankers in 9 other locations for your convenience. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.